Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother!
This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy you here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down. I'm your host, Jimmy Skinner. With me, as always, Dan Perry. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Me and my mid-century modern rickety furniture.
Different. This is like the first time I think I've ever seen you somewhere different.
Yeah,
I change locations all the time. Like, you've been in the same spot the whole time. Like, as actually, far, like never before leave. Me. Yeah.
I live there.
Yeah, it's his dungeon.
I'm just internet issues, and hopefully my echo isn't too bad. But
no, you sound good.
Creaking furniture. She thinks it looks great. It's cool, but it's not very functional.
Yes, that's how women are. It looks good, but don't sit on it. That kind of deal, you know. Yeah. Well, it's good to be back this week, man. I appreciate you taking care of it. Sorry I missed it, folks. My work truck broke down, and I had to get that back because you cannot make no money without it. So. Took care of that and I'm back, but we got
a second truck too, right?
Yeah, I did. I bought me a little SUV. I can't decide it still if I want it to be the work vehicle or if I want to keep my truck as my work vehicle, because the plan was to buy dedicated work vehicle, but work vans are high right now with, and they still want 15 grand for something with 200 plus thousand miles. And I found an O2 Trailblazer fully loaded. Like fully loaded, and it only had 100,000 miles on it. And like, I drove it home, and now I kind of don't want to work out of it because it's so nice, leather, clean interior, man. So it's like, maybe the truck stays the work truck, and make the little Trailblazer a fishing machine. Who knows?
But, speaking of buying, if anybody's selling like a Yakima Easy Rider for in the South. For a really good price, like you need some money, hit me up. I'm your guy. I've been looking for one.
That's the trailer I never see come up for sale.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I don't think I've ever seen one. I've seen the... Wait, no. I'm thinking of the Rack and Roll.
Yeah, the Rack and Roll.
Yeah. I forget
those are good too, but you can submerge the Easy Rider, and that's why I want it. Yeah.
Well, maybe somebody will hit you up. Y'all show Dan some love and sell him one for really cheap.
Really cheap.
You sell it to him cheap enough, we'll bring you on the podcast.
Twice.
A little bribe. Yeah, you can co-host.
You can take my place.
All right. Well, we got a little bit of a different show this week. So as a lot of the kayak fishing world saw or heard or read or whatever, there was a little bit of a change to the KBF National Championship this year as far as qualifications go. And before we bring we've got a few guests with us here to talk about it, and, you know, top anglers in KBF, you know, that fish with KBF quite a bit, and we wanted their opinions. on the whole thing, but I've got it pulled up, and I'm just going to read it real quick, and it also helps because I know even some of these guys don't know the details of it, but I've got the link to it right here, so we'll go into it real quick. So to qualify, an angler must fish in any kayak CPR tournament and submit a fish in that event. It doesn't matter where the angler finishes or even if they catch a limit. The idea here is that the angler has experience catching, photographing, releasing, and uploading a fish to a tournament management system. The angler will have the responsibility of knowing the rules thoroughly, avoiding simple mistakes, and incurring penalties. Blah, 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 blah. The qualifying event may be any regional, local, or state club trail. The event does not necessarily have to be one held by a KBF Ambassador Series partner organization. This also includes online CPR events conducted by various organizations and clubs across the country. The angler's qualifying finish can be posted to any tournament management site, Fishing Chaos, Tourney X, etc. The qualification process is solely up to the individual for accountability purposes and will be verified prior to moving on the top 100 for day 3 of the KBF NC. And then the rest is just KBF membership stuff. So, sum it up, if you catch a fish of the black bass species in a CPR tournament, congratulations, you're qualified.
I didn't think about it before, but I want to talk about how it's going to affect clubs and their affiliation with KBF.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get into all of it. So without further ado, we've got the man, the myth, the legend, Russ Snyder's returning guest, and Mr. Cody Henley, also returning guest, currently leading the AOI and KBF right now. He's, you know, pretty thug and not too bashful about it. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's up? Thank y'all for being on. Appreciate it.
I think
Russ is muted.
Yeah, I'm not hearing you, Russ. Well, Cody, while we're letting Russ get through his audio issues, tell everybody who you are and what you do.
My name is Cody Henley. I am currently a full-time kayak fisherman. Yeah, professional That's kayak awesome. Fisherman. Sounds super weird, but it's been an epic year. I can't even express what's happened. Like, the start of the year went super great for me, and it carried me for the rest of the year. Summer, I kind of plummeted. I got so used to winning, and I kept spending my money, and I realized, like, dang, I'm not doing great anymore. So I need to work on it and figure out how I'm going to do this each year and manage enough, because this year I think I don't know if I'm always going to have a year like this. Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. I don't know. But that's 100% what I do full-time. I actually run a soft plastic company as well. And I've put that on the – not the back burner, but in a sense, I've not really done any advertising. I've literally just been – I've been home for a week or 2 weeks, and I'm gone for a week. Gone home and then gone for another 2 weeks.
Advertise here, man. Shout out your brand. Talk about it.
Seriously. It's just my name, Henley. It's henleycustomlures.com. I probably have over 45 different styles of beavers, creatures, worms, speed, what you name it.
I've used them myself, and they are great. You got the colors dialed. You got the bait style. You can make some good stuff, man.
I'm on my list
of people to talk to after this.
Russ too, man. I got some of his chatterbaits. I mean, you're known for making all your stuff too. We got two.
Yeah, I don't see. That's one thing I don't do is plastics. I do all the other stuff, kind of airbrushed crankbaits and tide jigs and spinnerbaits and chatterbaits and buzzbaits and all that. But maybe I should get into the plastic making. If I do, Cody would be the guy to ask questions about how.
Man, y'all just gotta combine forces.
Yeah, right? Do like the True Collabs. South and the and yeah, the it all Bates. Covered. Yeah, True South yeah, and Biz Bates right. came together. Yeah, y'all yeah. should just do it. Yeah,
there you go.
Well, for anybody listening, that's Russ Snyder's. Russ, give us a little bit about yourself for anybody that doesn't know who you are. That's his phone.
That's Cody Milton calling. Yeah. Calling back.
Just got them hoes on speed dial.
Russ Snyder. Just kidding. Yeah. Russ Snyder's from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm from California, but live in Nashville, Tennessee the last 10 years here. And I got something. Hold on. What the heck's going on my computer?
He's about to crash out.
Blocking the screen. But anyways, But yeah, I've been kayak fishing for about 5 years now, and do all the tournaments, KBF, Hobie, Bassmaster. Yeah, really been enjoying it, and planning on it took a little bit of some time off this year. I got a new house, and things have been kind of busy with me, but now I'm getting back into the groove and planning on really getting things going towards the end of this year and into next year. So,
well, hell yeah.
I have a question I want to start out with, because both of y'all fish all three trails. Hey, Cody, you fish all three, right?
Yes, sir.
How do y'all choose? Is it just you fish as many as you can and try to fit them in the schedule, or is there... I don't know.
I have an assumption to the answer here, and I could be way off. If it was me, and just because Cody already mentioned it, you know, doing it for a living, do you just hit them all because you need as many opportunities to make money to continue to do it for a living? Or do you have a bias to like location? But both of y'all, either one of y'all can answer.
Sponsors.
Yeah. A lot of it just comes to like traveling and distance and what makes like most sense. There's a couple tournaments nearby where I can just do one back to back. That'll kind of persuade me to do that. Like I think I did this year. So like one in Texas and then one right after in Oklahoma, and you know, so scheduling like that, like I'm not going to drive all the, you know, I'm not going to drive 15 hours somewhere just for one tournament typically, but that comes, you know, plays a big part in it. And also just, you know, how many participants are in the tournament. You know, I'm not going to travel a long way if there's only going to be 30, 40 guys or something like that in the tournament typically. But yeah, and everything else is, you know, you have all the life stuff that happens too. So, you know, you got to kind of coordinate around that thing, plans with friends and family, and that all plays a part for me anyways. So,
what you, Cody?
I would say similar. I'll be 100% honest. I bit off a little bit more than I could chew this year. I've been 37,000 miles in my truck so far this year.
Wow.
And yeah, so it has. Next year, I don't.
That sounds impressive. I need to know the fuel price, though. I need to know, like, is it 37,000 miles and $50,000 in fuel? That's the number we need.
Oh, dude, I don't even freaking want to know. I 100% don't want to know. And I mean, the year's not even over. I mean, my first trip started whenever we went down to the 10. That was 42-hour drive. You know, but like Russ said, that was when we jumped off of the 10. Next weekend we had the Bassmaster, and then the following weekend after that we had the Hobie at
Texas, Toledo right? Yeah,
Texas, Toledo Bend. So that was, it was nice to hit all three of those, but then at the same time it was really hard for me to be away from my wife. Like, and it was just a little bit too much. Maybe one to two would be good, but for me it's kind of the same thing. You know, participants is a huge thing for me after traveling those 40 miles. I mean, 40 hours of driving nonstop. Me and Cayman rotated back and forth, so I mean, we did kind of stop, but after that, 12 to 15 hour drives are absolutely nothing. I could easily go make plastics all day or do whatever I wanted, leave at 12 and be there the next day. Doesn't affect me at all. But the participants, you have to think about that. If it's 12 hours or under, I don't really care about the participants, because if I don't have money that week, that's my only way of making a check for paying for bills, for paying anything. So, I mean, and this is my first year, so I don't have sponsors forking over cash left and right. You know, I mean, of course, I do get help, like, and that's insanely appreciated. But that, obviously, as my first year, I can't expect everyone to pay me $10,000 right out of the gate, you know. So it's definitely a work in progress, but, you know, it's got to be worth my while to go there. You know, like even the Hobie BOS, it's – I think Lake Darnell's coming up and we only have 132 contestants and our 100-something. And don't get me wrong, that's still a good payout. But if I don't hit first, I'm not going to get seven grand. And by the time you get there and come back, that's a $2,500 trip.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you, maybe not that much, cause it's not that much in tournament fees, but yeah, it adds up real quick.
No, I mean, it does. I mean, I can't think of any traveling tournament I've done, cause I've done a few of them. I mean, it's still $1,000.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've done one for under. I mean, maybe the one we did on Pickwick because it's 45 minutes from my house, but I stayed with Dan and them. We still split a house. I still probably spend $600, you know, driving around the lake and, you know.
I'll tell you the biggest way to save money is make a bunch of food.
Yeah, just kidding.
But just making, I mean, eating out is what costs oh, so much. My That's what really gosh. Adds up when you're just going eating out for all your meals and stuff like that. So I do a lot of meal. I spend a whole day and just do a meal prep and have enough food to pretty much cover me for the whole, you know, 5-6 days. And I'm usually 5 days is pretty typical. And all you got, you know, you go to some new place, you got to try one of the local restaurants. I'll eat out maybe once, maybe twice, but that's a way I really save some money.
I always get guilty of, you know, I like socializing and hanging out. So I'm always like, okay, I'm going to stick to this. We're going to have sandwiches all week. And then somebody's like, hey, we're at the local pub. And I'm like, be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that's how it happens. No, that's a good tip. Well, you know, we wanted to get a few couple people on and just really talk about a day. Y'all heard me read over it and, you know, everybody's kind of heard about it, but I just wanted to know, you know, everybody's thoughts on it, and we'll ask some questions and put our thoughts in as well. But the, you know, the whole change to basically making it kind of open in a sense, you know, and there's been so much banter about it, just like anything else that makes waves in kayak fishing. It's immediately just, you know, boom. But I figured we'd ask people that really, I don't want to say that it affects, because I mean, I guess it could affect you, but it, we'll get into it because I think it'd be a good thing for some of you. But so we'll just get first thoughts. You know, we'll actually start with Dan. Dan, what are your first thoughts on a tournament that has always been something you qualify for, whether that was still loosely qualified even before this change, but to what they announce now? What's your just initial thought on it?
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Why not? I mean, to me, it's kind of like I always saw it as a gathering anyways, that if it's going to be, if you want to have as many people from across kayak fishing have an expo, even though they're not having an expo this year, and just it'd be like the classic, the Bassmaster Classic expo and a big giant gathering of kayak fishermen, having, whether it's one fish that you caught in your local club or it's, you know, that you won, you know, you got third in a state online, or it doesn't matter to me. It's both the same thing. I hate they call it a national championship. They should call it something else. But why not?
Cody, what do you think? Just your first initial thought.
First initial thought, I have absolutely no problem with it. I mean, the way, and this sounds super greedy or super maybe cocky or rude, more people, money, more money.
Yeah. Exactly. That's, yeah, right. I mean, like, that's where I was leaning towards how it would benefit. And I say benefit y'all, like y'all are, I mean, y'all have all lost tournaments. Everybody has. And I'm not trying to put y'all on these giant pedestals, but you think of the names that are typically going to do good and cash that money. Having way more people in the event can only help you there. So maybe that takes you home $1,000 versus 100, or, you know, whatever. Russ, what's your initial thought?
I'm going to agree with both what Cody and Dan said. The one thing I can add to it, though, is the more people, the more money. It does come to a point where I've seen, you know, a couple of the national championships where there's like 700 and something people
saturating a body of water.
Yeah, it's just it's just more a matter of the body of water and how big it can fish. You know what I mean?
Right.
It can definitely get to a point where it's just too many people. And then spots get a little overcrowded and it's just a little too much. But in this case, you know, if the numbers are down and we need to, you know, the ideal number, I think, depending on the lake, but for Kentucky Lake, there's a lot of water, you know, especially since they extended the boundaries and stuff like that. So, you know, I'd love to see, you know, the 300 to 400 people, I think, would be an ideal amount. And if they're not going to hit those numbers, I want to, you know, change the rules to, I have no problem with them changing the rules to do whatever they need to do to get to those numbers that they need.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, so my first initial thoughts were that's not them being elite. Like we talked about kind of before the show, you've heard them talk about, you know, that being one of those higher upper tournaments. But then I thought about it and was like, well, you know, this is a way to boost your participation that can only, I mean, you can say it that there's no bad publicity. It's just more eyes, more people, more money. You know, it could show the Experience Paris Tourism Board, you know. I mean, I know they've been there before, but, you know, here's a little more help. We got even more people coming in. So it's probably, from like a non-ego standpoint, it's probably got so many positives that, you know, they would far outweigh any real negative opinion anybody had on it. But let's, you know, talking about like, because saturating an area, that's something I thought about too, because I didn't see, and this doesn't say that there's a cap of any kind, but, and obviously I would say Russ would say so. Do you think there should be a cap? Like, say the first 350 people to respond to this change and sign up. Or what do y'all think?
I think there should be a cap, but I don't know, maybe not at 350. Once you get, like I said, it depends totally on the body of water. And maybe, it just depends on the body of water and how many people it can really handle. In this case, Kentucky Lake, with them making it dam to dam. And I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard something about how like the first couple days is going to be on Kentucky Lake and then the final day is going to be on Lake Barkley. Is that true or is that... Just heard that from somebody.
I haven't seen that, Dan. Did you hear that?
No, I remember him because you can go back and listen to the you look up Chad Hoover on YouTube. You can go back to his podcast a couple nights ago, and he was talking about there.
He was on a podcast with Cody. I think that's what I heard. I think Cody was telling me he was on a podcast with him, and Chad was saying something about doing the first 2 days on Kentucky and then a day on Barkley, which I don't, you know. Yeah, whatever the case, like I'd like to know pretty soon because that's I live pretty close by, and if that's the case, then I'm probably going to need to start looking at some stuff on Barkley then too.
Yeah, I don't even know where that is.
They're right next to each other.
Wait, is that the one that's conjoined in?
Yeah, they connect almost like right at the dams. Like two dams are right next to each other, and there's a strip called Land Between the Lakes, which is. It's a big wildlife area, I guess. Right,
I've always wanted to go camp there. It's beautiful, a great place to camp.
Yeah, there's all sorts of ATV and four wheeling trails, and all sorts of. You just got to get like a little backcountry permit, and there's just little campsites everywhere. They have some, you know, they have like big developed campsites as well with a bunch of RVs and stuff like that. But then there's also like just these off the beaten path campsites where you can just drive out on the dirt road and have a little cool little spot by the lake and and everything kind of in between too. They have some other sites that have, you know, just like some porta potties and a couple picnic tables, and there's like 10 campsites right by a dirt ramp and stuff. So it's a great place for kayak fishing and for having tournaments, just with all the access and stuff that they have at those areas there.
And it's like you said, man, it's so much water. Yeah. I could see why this one especially would be a good one to do this open format on, because it can handle a lot of people.
Yeah, I think this time of year it fishes a little bigger than it did. I think before the national championships have been in the spring there when the water's down. And I think they are drawing it down right now, but in the spring it fishes a little smaller in the spring. In the fall, you know, they could definitely spread out a little bit more. And, so it can handle a lot of kayaks.
Awesome. Well, Dan, what's your next question to this whole thing or statement or anything?
Like what? I don't know. What are things that they,
I guess the thing that's kept me away from fishing it is, and probably some other people, and maybe this is just something they can do in the future, is I can't devote 5 days of vacation time to one event. Like because it's always during a week and rather than ending on a Sunday, I can't give up that many.
It's like minimum 5 days, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 3-day tournament plus like the awards are the next day, right? It's like Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, Friday, the awards on Saturday. 5 days would only give you 1 day to pre-fish. So really, it's like a whole week pretty much.
Yeah.
What is the purpose for that, Rush? You've been, maybe you know, why is it in the middle of the week? Why doesn't it start on like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then finish everything out?
Because of the award, because in the past there's been so many people that in order to just have time to finalize everything and get everybody's scores and totals, I think in the past they've tried to do it. They've had national championships where the tournament ended and then they had to figure everything out and everybody's sitting there until 12 o'clock at night or 1 a.m. to finish everything up. So then they made a change where they just, you know, decided to do it the next day, which makes more sense with that many people. And I think it's worked out good, but there have been, yeah, I know now they're using Fishing Chaos, and I think with Tourney X, they were having some issues at a couple of the national championships in the past, but
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, hopefully everything goes smooth, and it's a lot to coordinate. You know, I do much criticism as Chad gets for things. You know, he does work hard, and he does, you know, he puts a lot of effort into doing the best he can to give, you know, us anglers these opportunities. So,
and he also said that this year that they would have a guaranteed extra days, like if there was a weather event and they couldn't go on a Friday, guaranteed they're going Saturday, that they have two extra days built in already into it, so that way it won't be just cut short.
There's a lot of things to just take in consideration when putting on an event this big, you know.
Oh, for sure. So something that I saw somewhere, this will be my next question, do you think them doing this is at all, just because I can't put it any other way, like a cry for help for participation? I see it as yes and no. I mean, you definitely want as many people as you can to be at one of these big events. But do you think as a whole, this is like just kind of a ploy to get more KBF participation? Or do you think this is strictly just a one event? Like, we just want to really blow this up. Like, what do y'all think on that?
Rush, you want me to go first, or you want to
go
first?
Sure, you go, bud.
Okay, I don't know. Jimmy, like you said, I think it could be both. You could say, I mean, I wouldn't in a sense say a cry for help. I would think more of it. Chad is he gets so much criticism from so much stuff, but yet the dude has so many great ideas, and they're not for him. Like, the dude's not
right.
He could have came up with something so much better for him to be a millionaire and him not have to worry about anything that we're doing and him not to have to put up with our bullshit, you know, but he does all this for us. And he has so much in his brain. And obviously when he thinks of something, he doesn't think of like, oh, right now. He thinks from start to finish. And he maps every single thing out. So I really do think a lot of it will have to come together and tie together with the pro series, with the other amateur, whatever they're starting. I don't really know a ton about that, but about the clubs coming together and if it's your first, I don't really know that exactly, but making the 10 a bigger prize payout, you know, all that stuff will in the end come back to help us. But I think with more participation, you know, that gives us the chance. Obviously, with more people, there's more money for people, for us to make money. But then, obviously, the company is going to get more money so that they can grow and expand. Because this year, you heard him say, like, he did a ton of tournaments. Right after the 10, he put two more out west in California, both KBF events, one on Lower Otay, California, and another one was San Vicente. And I ended up going to all those except San Vicente. And then at the end of the year, after everything had come to pass, he realized like, okay, so we're not getting as much participation in certain places, you know, and as much money as he's spending. You know, like when we were out in Arizona, Chad paid almost $4,000 for us to eat out both days. And we barely had 40 people out there in the tournament. I think it might have been 47 on day one and 42 on day two. So it's kind of hard for it to come back and pay for itself. So I think a lot of it, he has just the end in mind and what he can do with the help of more people coming to the event.
I'm very just awesome. Really disappointed. You just called it Otay. I always thought it was Otay.
It might be.
Like I'm be. Seriously disappointed.
I'm pretty sure, Rush, you fished it before out in Cali.
He's from Cali.
Northern California.
Oh, so that's more down in the San Diego area.
Yeah, I fished a couple of those lakes down there. Diamond Valley, I don't know. But, yeah, I agree with everything you said. The one other thing to take in consideration, too, is you know, a lot of this money for the events isn't just coming from entry fees. It's coming from the Chamber of Commerce for these different towns that the tournaments are hosted out of, as well as sponsors, too. And, you know, he has, in order for Chad to get money from those companies, he has to put out there how much, you know, how many people are going to be traveling to these towns and support the local businesses, the restaurants and stuff like that. So he needs to, you know, if they're going to give him a bunch of money and then all of a sudden it's the participants aren't what they expected, you know, that's going to let those people down too. So he wants to keep, I'm sure, good relationships with the different sponsors and different chamber of commerce for the towns. And, you know, and he has to do whatever he needs to do to you know, make them happy so that he keeps getting support and keeps getting money from those people.
And that's something that a lot of people just don't even think about when they go to you know, thinking of all the negative comments and stuff they could throw towards something like this is, so like I'm doing our state championship here in Alabama. And that's the first thing when you talk to the Chamber of Commerce, that's the first thing they ask is how many people.
Yeah.
And they base on how much support they can give you about how much support you're bringing into them. So I see that 100% when you can turn around and be like, well, I might be able to get 400 people kind of throughout this general area that are going to eat out and, you know, pay for campsites, pay for hotels,
tackle, you know, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah. Local everything, you know.
Strip clubs.
Yeah, that too. I mean, support your local prostitutes, folks. But, yeah, it's just, I think that's probably one of the, if I had to take a guess, I'd think that's a bigger factor that most everybody's kind of overlooking is maybe when the participation numbers look low, they're like, look, we're going to have to pull back a little bit. And you're like, well, hold up, I can do this. But then you turn around and give me more if I bring you more, you know, so who knows, just more speculation. So the next thing, and I kind of already know the answer to this. Y'all two, you know, do well, Cody, you're killing it this year. Russ, you know, you've been, how many times have you been in the tent house, Russ?
Three.
Yeah. So, you know,
and that's still got to be the best event.
I still think that the 10 is like when I sit back and think of one I'd love to make, it's that one. It has nothing to do with it. It's KBF. It's like, I've seen the videos in the house. I've seen all the cool free shit y'all get. I want in on that. Like, and you can, like, you can say you did so consistent throughout the year to make it there. Do y'all see this open event taking away from the glory or the professionalism of this event from y'all's standpoint? So do you still see it as facing some of the best in the country? You know, this is a real event that I really want to hang my hat on, or does it kill that for you? Or does it not, because there's other things that KBF has to offer for the more serious angler? So Russ, we'll let you start.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I don't have an issue with, I mean, the qualification process for the previous ones, it wasn't like it was
like
elite. Yeah, it's not, you know what I mean? So it's not like it is the best of the best, and it's just something that's super hard to qualify for even in the past. So, you know, and then they do have, like I said, the 10 is an elite event where you do have to have all these qualifications. So if you want, you know, that's more what I consider that elite type championship event, where this is something where it's a huge event. It's more of a big giant social gathering, more of a bit, you know, where everybody, it's more than just a tournament, you know, as far as national championship goes. And like I said, maybe call it something else. Maybe don't call it the national championship. Maybe call it something else. But I think I'd like it to be, you know, just open. I like the way that he changed the qualification rules. And like I said, as long as it doesn't get to a point where it's just overbearing as far as too many people on a small fishery, then that becomes an issue. But I think do whatever you have to do to get it to the point of having the numbers that, you know, max out those numbers to the point where there's going to be a lot of money in the pot to pay out. And there's going to be, you know, open to whoever really wants to come and travel and fish. And it's just cool having an event with that many people from so many people all across the country, you know,
yeah.
Coast to coast. And there's a lot of people. I don't think there's another event where that many people travel so far, just to fish an event. So,
yeah, no,
go ahead, Jimmy.
I was just going to say, I think if like a follow up to my questions, if anything, I think it makes the 10 look even better.
Yeah.
Like, because then it takes it away from being like two big, like high level things from under one organization to now this is a giant open, like the open championship weekend. And then it just come January, the 10, which I still think the 10 should go back to just 10, you know, because what was it last year? Like 13 or something like that?
Yeah.
It
12.
12. Yeah. 10, 11, whatever. But I do. I think that it makes the 10 look even more badass than it already is. What was you going to say, Dan?
I think it's two things that KBF does better than anybody else. They have like two really special events. They have the 10 and they also have that national championship gathering. Like, you know, it just seems like they, some of the other stuff kind of doesn't always go. It's to me, the reason I don't fish KBF is because it always seemed like too many carrots. Like, and like if you fish a Hobie, you know exactly how it's going to go, exactly what the qualifications are to get to a TOC. There's how many people. It's just very simple. I'm from Mississippi. Very simple, very easy. And for a dumb guy like me.
I grew up in Mississippi. That's why I laugh.
There you go. But it just seems like, you know, KBF is always, there's always a carrot at the end of the stick to try to get you to do something else. Like the year whenever Josh Stewart, I think it's Josh Stewart, whenever he didn't sign up for some extra thing and he didn't win like $40,000.
Oh, when he missed out on all the bonus bucks at the, whatever that was. Yeah.
I felt so bad for the guy. So it's just kind of stuff like that that I've always been a little bit wary of KBF. But they
do a little gimmicky.
They do so many things so well. I think if they brought it, you know.
Simplified it a little?
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to what Cody was saying.
They would do better.
Like, the ideas are great. It's like me and Cody were talking about it before. So many good ideas, and that, but they try to tackle all of them. Like, just pick the ones that seem to mean the most to everybody, and just like go hard to that and make those even better.
Yeah,
and which that could be what this is for the NC. You know, I do. I think that it opens it up for everybody, because like if you go back and like for me when I go back, like if I get bored and I pull up videos, the old YouTube videos of the NC. At Kentucky Lake or Gunnersville. Was it Gunnersville?
Yeah. That was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Caddo. Yeah. Those videos are sick crumbs. When everybody's in the award ceremony all the video from all these people on the water. Like that shit's awesome. And I do. I think Dan's right. I think like they do it well. And I think this just capitalizes on that a little more.
I want Hobie, I want Bass, I want KBF to all do well because I think there's room for all of them. So whenever they're declining rather than growing, I want to see them do better. I don't want to see anybody go away.
Yeah, it'll all fizzle out if it doesn't, you know.
Do you guys, think, I was going to have a couple conversations about this. Do you guys think the sport of kayak fishing is growing? Because there is growth in certain aspects, and there's other signs of, like,
plateauing.
Declining. And, you know, for instance, the National Championship, it was no problem to get 700 people. Now they're struggling just to fill the field. And do you think that's just like finances and gas expenses, or do you think there's other factors that go into that? And like I said, at the same time, Hobie's doing exceptionally, you know, well. They're kind of growing, but is it?
So
I don't know. What do you think of that?
My theory on that is, like, overall, and like working with the kayak shop, you know, I get to be a part of like the sales end of it. So you get to see, like, you know, the rise, and like when COVID hit and boom, you know, sales go crazy. You know, we've seen that plateau/decline, and it's some of it is the world going back to normal, but I think inflation's got a lot to do with it. And I know I can say for me, that's why I didn't travel as much this year. Like, I've never considered myself a great angler. I love just traveling and fishing with everybody, you know. It didn't matter, but now it's just, I mean, gas to Florida. I didn't pay for gas. Brian did. Gas back and forth to Florida, I don't want to think about that bill to Orlando. And, you know, he went from Chicago to Orlando and back. And I think that's part of it. And then on the other side of it, like you said, like, you're seeing Hobie continue to do so well. I think it's just because it's a 200-person tournament max. That's like the core of all the anglers that continue to do this. So it's like, if you had to say there were 300 people in the country that take kayaks for fishing, you know, elite level serious, I think that's why they do so good, is those people all continue to fish that event, because no matter what's happening, they're still wanting to fish tournaments. It's not like your regular everyday angler. As far as the KBFNC decline, I think it kind of still falls into that, because the KBFNC traditionally has had so many qualified people that falls into that, like, average just weekend angler, and some people just can't, you know, afford that stretch right now. Like you said, you know, minimum 5 days with fuel like it is and everything price wise is inflated. I think it's just kind of like a snowball effect of everything, you know.
I think it's a lot of different things happening all at one time, where the economy, we're headed for a recession, so things are going to get worse, and inflation is getting worse. So the economy is bad, but bass boats and bass fishing in general, Russ, you and me, we both came from bass boat, and you used to be able to get, you know, like an 18-foot Ranger for $22,000, and now it's $70,000. So I think we're growing. We're taking from bass boats. I think kayak fishing is growing, but that's being hurt by the economy. I think after COVID happened, both were going up at the same time, and now we're one up, one down. So we're probably pretty even, if I had to guess.
What do you think, Cody?
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
I don't have an indefinite. I would say kind of lined up with what they're saying, you know, but like, when I got back, and this had a lot to do with eating out, my trip to Florida, what was that, Lake Fork, and then down to Toledo Bend. When I got back, I counted everything. I think I won close to $25,000. I was stoked, right? I was so freaking stoked. And I don't think we're going to win $25,000 every single trip I go out. I ended up counting up how much I had spent. Now, taking mine, I was going for 3 weeks, I'd spent around $9,200, you know, so it cost me a $9,000 trip. Gas was split. Gas wasn't even a quarter. I don't even think gas prices hadn't even raised yet, had they?
No.
That's the beginning of the year. So we were still paying what, three up here in Utah, I was paying close to $350 or $379. But when we got down there, or maybe four, but when we got down there, it was like $299, $305, $325. You know, it was extremely lower. My truck was $60 to fill up. Now it costs $110 to fill my truck up, and that gets me 300 miles. You know, and then loaded down, probably not even that much. I really think it's just maybe those weekend warriors aren't able to make that trip, you know, anymore, or are able to not even just the weekend warriors, just people in general. I mean, like Russ said, 5 days, that's nothing. Like most people are planning 6 to 10 days for that trip. And, you know, to get that time off, that's a lot. And that's a lot of money to spend. And then at this point, they've fished long enough to know if they're going to cash a check or if they're going to be anywhere in the top.
Or, or if it's just an expense trip as a vacation, because that's what it turns into for some of you. Are we
looking to blow $5,000 or am I going to be at the top?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it could also be the fact that Kentucky Lake isn't like this world-class fishing destination that it used to be at one time. I mean, it's pretty known nationally that there's a problem with the Asian carp. There's, you know, and then being the time of year that it is too, it's going to be a tough fishing. It's not like you're going to, you know, show up and get, you know, 100 inches every day free fishing.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll have that bucket list kind of draw like some like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely used to.
Do y'all two prefer, since y'all fish more national tournaments, do you prefer a deeper payout like Bass does or a top 10% Hobie, you know, the standard?
Top 10%, no questions asked.
No question, same thing. I hate the Bass payout.
Really?
I think personally, and I don't even have skin in the game, I've never understood that. Like in the bass boat world?
That's what it is in the bass boat. It's similar structure to in the bass boat world. It's top 20%.
And it's different there because, I mean, like, those guys are taking home, like, I can't even remember, like, on the elite level. I mean,
20 plates is still taking home 10 grand or at least $3,000 to $7,000.
A lot of money.
Well, the Bass Master, like, the open, like, stuff like that, I think they pay back even deeper into the field. But they... I think it's like you like double your money. It's like a $4,000 entry fee, but if you get a check, you're getting 10 grand, you know, minimum.
Yeah.
What I remember those.
And that's a, like, it works in the boat world also because the boat world's getting a lot of money put into it from sponsors and other things. So there's so much money in there. But I've never understood it in our little kayak world. Like, I'd rather see, you know, the top 10 people get like good checks versus
Hobie. I mean, KBF has great payouts too, mostly because of the bonus bucks. Even for the smaller tournaments, if you're in the bonus bucks, that pays out extremely well. And I think the Hobie payouts are pretty legit too. You know, I think minimum payout, you're pretty much at least doubling your money, at least gonna, you know, make your money back. But in the Bassmaster, you know, and if they pay, you have 100 kayaks and they pay back 20 spots, you know, 20 through 10th are just pretty much getting their entry fee back. So you're still losing money. And then even 10th through 5th are, you know, probably breaking even. And the problem with that, you know, is you got to get a top 5 just to feel like you even, you know, made a nickel.
Did any damage at all.
It's like nobody, you know, then you have 15 people who are getting checks and aren't even really feeling like they've, you know, they still feel like they're losing money.
I
think it's better to have less people, like take that money from 10th to 20th and put it towards the top 10, so then whoever is getting a check at least feels like they're covering their expenses and making a little something extra.
I definitely think that
they're only paying back about 70% too, which Hobie and KBF pay back a lot more than that.
I've always I've always
we've had shows about that.
Yeah, that's why I'm grinning. Straight,
I mean, I'm gonna do a Bassmaster event. I'm doing the Pickwick one, but something needs. I don't know. I just that's just my beliefs, and people can
something needs to change. You're about to say.
Everybody. I'm not the only. Yeah, we got to speak out. I mean, it's if it's not for us anglers, kind of speaking out and saying, "Hey, this, you know, we don't like this." Like, if nobody says anything, they're not going to change anything. So exactly. If people speak out about it, you know, they'll
I think something too to jump off. Sorry to cut you off, Russ, but I wanted to kind of go off something you said was, you know, speaking up. You know, I remember when Bassmaster, I'd planned to go to Grand Lake, you know, and I remember when Bassmaster wouldn't let you launch till like an hour past daylight. Maybe that's not, it's somewhere up in there. You couldn't launch before daylight. And then the other thing was the kayak rule. And you look what Chad has done. Like, Chad goes in there, he talks to the people, and he's going to get a tournament there next year and get that whatever rule is about being 150 yards off the bank, and then you can't cross back straight across the cove. Like, I think we just need to speak up and let people know. And, you know, like, and no offense to who's running it, he's a boat guy. So he doesn't understand what's really going on with kayaks in general.
He's actually not running it anymore.
Okay.
He left Bass, John Stewart, he left Bass, and they're right now they're interviewing for a new tournament director.
Okay. So I think that's a wonderful step. Like, no offense.
That could be the step that needs to happen.
Yeah. Like, I think that's great. And I think to jump off of what Russ said, KBF have some of the best payouts. Like, cool. Don't get me wrong. Hobie's is amazing. First, second, and third, taking home $3,000 to $10,000. But if you really bear down and look what KBF has, I've been to 3 events this year with KBF, and every single one of them, one day I took second, the other day I think I took third or first, and both times I brought home $7,000 to $12,000. So, I mean, it is, once it wraps up and all the bonus bucks and
then all the
extra
money in towards the 10 house, too. Look at how much she puts into that, and there's no entry. Yeah.
It's more than fair what with the payout. For us.
It is guaranteed payout.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been traveling all over for KBF, because I know whether if I take second or third or whatever, once it comes down to it, that the pro series and all that, I'm going to get my money back.
So
and
I'm
in some.
Something to go off of this, just because I haven't actually asked anybody about it, and it's something that you always saw about it. Have you, either one of y'all, and you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, had any trouble getting paid with the KBF payouts?
and this is also another
I got money. There was, I mean, I guess I'll be honest about it. It took a little while. There was, you know, when the pandemic happened, thing is with Chad and with a lot of organizations. I don't know if all right. Let me think before I talk here, but he got a lot of money from the Chamber of Converts, from all these tournaments, from sponsors and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden there wasn't tournaments happening anymore. So then all those people asked for their money back, you know, and then
he
got in a situation where he's like, shit, like what do I do? You know? So I know with me and a few other people, he's like, hey, here's the situation. And he was straightforward about it. He was open. He was honest about it. And he's like, dude, can you just, you know, help me out a bit and just try to be patient? And I said, yeah. And you know, everything worked out the way, you know, everything.
That is what matters, is if, as long as somebody makes good on their word.
Yeah.
That's what matters. Yeah. He didn't stiff you any money.
No.
It just, man, shit happens. Like, real people get it. And that's why I asked, because, I mean, it's great that when you do a local tournament or any of these other tournaments, sure, you're probably paid by Monday. But, I mean, like you said, there's so many moving pieces to that puzzle, you know? So what if it takes a little bit? But what about you, Cody? Any?
I would kind of say the same thing. I feel like most of those people that are talking crap are the ones that literally don't even fish KBF, and they just, hey, when are you going to pay us or win this? You got to think about the national championship, how much money there is in that, right? Like, that's a lot of money to be sending out over PayPal, you know? Like, I've been locked out of PayPal so many. I have 7 different PayPal accounts. I want to break PayPal's face off. There's no getting in touch with them. There's no talking to some guy in Asia. Like, they're the worst company I've ever dealt with. But finally, after I got my profile fixed, I finally started figuring things out. Cause then if you create a new account, you can't open it. Cause then you got to be trusted. Like, oh my gosh. But I would say it's been more of like a one time after the national champ, which I didn't make a ton of money at the national championship, but I think that took 27 days to get paid. But this whole year at every KBF event, except one, I've been able to be super blessed and cash a check, and I got paid within 6 to 10 days. So I just checked my Clear Lake one, and it was fished on the 20th, and I got paid on the 29th.
And like my whole point of asking that is not to bring any like bad light on that. I didn't mean that by anything, but it's
no, like, you're good.
These things have happened. They've happened to y'all. Y'all still are there fishing the events. It's obviously not a deal breaker like everybody makes it out to be, like, oh, they took my money, I didn't get paid. Like, y'all are still supporting the cause and fishing the events. That's been my biggest. You can go back and listen to any event we've talked about KBF. Everybody runs their mouth about how this is elite and this isn't, and KBF's not doing that. Almost all of y'all are still fishing KBF. Like, there's only a handful of top level kayak anglers that don't. Like, because y'all are trying to make a living doing it, you got to go where the money is and where you can make money. Like, it just drives me nuts. And people are like, yeah, nope, they're not doing good. Nobody's going to fish those events anymore. And then you look through there and this field's still stacked at some of these lakes. Like, you're obviously wrong. But
I will say, too, that on that podcast, I keep bringing it up. I wish I would have taken better notes. But he talked about getting away from PayPal because they've had so many issues that they're trying to figure out a different way to do it. So
they always sneak into, I couldn't tell you how many tournaments, mostly local tournaments and stuff like that, or just getting paid from people in general, where it's like PayPal will trick you into clicking goods and services instead of friends and family. Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, I'd say 25% of the time I get paid by PayPal, you know, I get 10% or whatever it is, 5%, 10% taken out because people accidentally clicked friends and family. They don't make it like easy. You know, it happens so often that obviously they set it up so people accidentally click the wrong one so they can get their money.
My worst one was running one of the Bassmaster state level events last year or 2 years ago. You know, we had, I think it was close to $5,000 in the pot or something like that. PayPal locked that money up for 31 days. Wow. Because it had never seen that kind of money come in. It was just $100 entry fees and the Bass Nation fees. And I made everybody do it separate. And they locked it up. So I called Dwayne and was like, I'm out. We just ain't using Tourney X anymore, brother. Like, so me and him got on a phone with PayPal, and PayPal was like, yeah, it sucks. Good luck. And that was the end of that conversation. Because he was like, I'll take this business. He was like, this business runs solely on PayPal. He's like, we put so much money through PayPal, blah, blah, blah. We will go somewhere else. And they were like, cool, later. Like, called his bluff right there. Like, we don't care.
How about Venmo? I saw Chad's doing stuff with Venmo now instead of PayPal.
And you Venmo's can receive so a check. Good. If you want to do a check, you have the option, check, Venmo, or PayPal.
I haven't had any issues. You guys have any issues with Venmo?
No, Venmo's like,
I've never used
it. I swapped my entire business.
You've got to be careful with Venmo because they just swapped over to the transaction because PayPal and Venmo apparently merged.
Oh.
And now they have that security. So just make sure you don't click on friends and family.
You do that through Venmo too? Again?
Yes. But it's a lot harder. Yeah, it's a lot harder to get it on Venmo. PayPal will just you won't even get be able to click the screen, and they'll automatically just do not friends goods and family, and then you have to pay the goods and services, and then you come up having when it's a $10,000, you pay a decent amount.
Yeah,
is what advice, because I haven't fished a KBF event in forever. With the I know next year, also on that podcast, they talked about how they're going to do the regular next year at the trail series, day one, day two, and a 2 day pro series. How do y'all look at that? Do you just pay for everything, day one, day two, and the pro series and the bonus bucks? Is that the advice y'all give people? Because we've had people on where some of them only did pro series or some of them only did trail series. What advice do y'all have for people there that want to get into fishing KBF?
Pay for it
all. I would probably say, like, if if you're just starting off, like that's a big, don't even, that's a big chunk of money. Like if you're just starting off, just jump in one trail, maybe jump in both trails. I mean, you're paying $485 if you're a Fishing Chaos member, you know, and I wasn't a fan of Fishing Chaos in the beginning, and I freaking love it now. What they've done with that thing, I love that app. I still love Tourney X. I still love using it too, but I absolutely love Fishing Chaos. When you don't have good service, you can click low quality images. Like, so, I mean, just starting off, I would say like start small, you know, whether that's in the monthly tournaments or whatever. I mean, obviously that's where it's designed for you to start. But if you want to jump into the trail, I would say just jump in one or two trails and give that a shot. But I sign up for everything because I don't want to. I've missed out on me not signing up, and I lost around $5,000 not signing up for an event out in California. Actually,
okay. I agree with everything you said. Yeah, it's pretty spot on with how I feel about it too.
Well, you've seen it happen too many times where, like, I mean, y'all are great, consistent anglers, but I mean, lightning strikes for some folks on some weekends, and I would feel really bad if I beat so many of the top anglers in the country and I cashed checks and then didn't pay into the big bonus bucks. And I'm like, oh, well, you did.
I lost out on up in La Crosse. I got, I would have won all three. I would have won the trail series champion. I qualified, I just didn't sign up for it. It was the trail series championship, the challenge series championship, and something else. I don't know. I would have won all three, but I didn't sign up for the other ones, and I missed out on a lot, like 30, 40 grand or something.
What was that? Was that the national championship that you just signed up for the national?
No, it wasn't the national. It was the one in La Crosse, the trail series and the challenge series and the – was it another like pro series or something that they tried to do one year? I forget. Josh ended up winning a bunch of it.
That was Brian fished that one. So it was like before, it was the first year of the pro series.
Yeah. So it was a pro series. Yeah. I qualified for both other ones and I didn't. So I got to do the, I still haven't signed. I still haven't qualified for the challenge series. So I just got in the last, my last opportunity is the September monthly challenge. In order to, because that pays back really good. Last year,
very
Huntersville
good.
Last year, I think I got like third or fourth place. I got, that was the one I got the most money from. I got like 11 grand for third or fourth place through the challenge series, where the trail series and the national championship were maybe like 3,000 or 4,000 for the same amount.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
You talk about on Caddo, Russ?
On Caddo, yeah.
Caddo, yeah.
Yeah, was that 2 years ago? Was that last year? I don't know.
Last year was Caddo.
Yeah, last year
was Caddo. So that was Caddo. That was Caddo. Yeah.
So it really is. I mean, I guess it's just most of us just don't see it. There is. I mean, there's really good payouts with KBF. Like,
very
extremely.
And I can say after listening to this, I feel better about fishing.
Definitely. KBF. That's why I wanted to talk to people that really have their money or their cards in with KBF, because like, there's a reason for it, and I wanted to know why, and I wanted to know how any of this affected you, if it affected you at all. And I think it's been a great show, and I hope everybody listens to this. And for anybody that's kind of on the fence about KBF, just because you hear so much of the negativity if you're on social media, which just...
What is the negative? Like, what are the people... I don't go on Kayak Bass Nation or any of that anymore, really. What...
It's just, you know, everybody poking fingers at it, and then I've seen a lot of the comments are just... more towards like the elite status of the event, but that's like you said, like, and we've said here, I don't think the NC is that anyway, because the 10
never
is that
been. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. It's, I don't know, and I think some people are just,
if it's not
to give...
not, you know, the pinnacle, so there's no reason
that was a comment I saw on KBN this morning, actually, where somebody said, because if it's not Hobie, this is where you bitch about it or something like that. And it's not just them. I saw this like local club trail comment sections. Like, everybody had something to say about it. And I figured, of course, anytime anything happens with KBF, people have to talk about it. And I don't know. I just figured talk to the guys that really, you know, really participate and let it help them pay their bills. But I think, you know, anybody that listens to this will come away from it and, you know, maybe not be on the fence about it anymore. Like, maybe go sign up for the NC or, you know, going into 23, take the Trail Series events and the, you know, Pro Series or whatever, you know, get more hands in on that. I don't see why not. Like, if you're a competitive fisherman that, and you're not, like, let's say you just don't want to try to run for the Hobie or Bassmaster Series. I feel like the KBF's a great way to do it. And then talking to y'all now, you know, all the money seems to be better. And it, I mean, for sure, than Bassmaster. So why not?
I wish I would have gotten the stops he had talked about on that podcast. But from what I heard, I mean, that it sounded like a great schedule. I know St. John's was on there, and that's like, I love St. John's.
Hey, where was this at? I'm going to go find this. You got the schedule for last year, next year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. He gave out the first few dates on go to Chad Hoover and look at the latest podcast with Randy Newton, who is the host of the podcast. It was him and Chris, him and his wife were on there.
Christy?
Yeah, Christy. Or
when was this?
Yeah.
Just last week.
Okay. Hey, I haven't seen that one.
It came out on.
These guys are going ahead and diving on in the next year. I love it. But you got to.
Yeah, you can go to chadhoover.com.
Is Christy still the president?
Yeah. It premiered on September 1st.
El Presidente. Or La Presidente.
Yeah. It was a good show. And but he talked a lot, you know, Chad can say a lot of things, but all of it sounded positive to me. So I hope they're going in the right direction.
You know, I feel like this year KBF, like, so there's been years in the past where there was a lot of stuff that happened, whether it was the Turniak situation at the NC. I haven't really heard anything this year. I feel like that this year has been a kick-ass year for, I mean, maybe the participation wasn't where they wanted it, which could be what breeded this, but I mean, I feel like KBF did fine this year from everything we know about it. There's been a ton of events and a bunch of big names at them, and I feel like it's been a pretty kick-ass year for all of them. So,
amen, brother. Hey, I got a question for y'all. Yeah. What, and maybe I missed something too when we were talking, what makes y'all feel that the national championship is declining? Is it because there's not that many signed up this far in advance, or it was something like that said? I didn't really know, you know, that it was declining. And Russ, you know a little bit, because you said at one point there was like 700 competitors, and then I don't know, did COVID hit?
I know he used to promote it a lot more. I mean, you used to hear about the national championship like 3, 4, 5 months before it even happened. It was just in your face, like constantly. There's like bonuses, you know, you can get $100 off for signing up early.
If you sign up early, I remember that.
Stuff like that, and
There's no expo this year, so
I've hardly heard anything about it. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that plays a part in why the numbers are down, and what his logic is between, you know, but why he didn't promote it like they used to. I don't know. So just something I've observed.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say I've seen any of it declining, and I can honestly say, like, I have no clue how many people are signed up for it, because I haven't been paying attention. You know, it's just like, again, part of what this job with the podcasting do is we got to try to stay in the loop of some of the stuff. So unfortunately, I have to participate in social media, and you just listen to as much talk as you can, which usually leads to the wrong ends of the internet. But I mean, the most decline I would see is like what Russ said, though, maybe from going from the years at, I guess it was at Gunnersville that had, you know, I know there was like 700 qualified or something like that.
That was like, that was a Kentucky Lake, I think, it's like 600, 700, probably Kentucky Lake. The last couple of years they had it there. And then the year they had it at Just Cata, no, was it?
I think it was Cata.
There was one, it was the first one that they had at Cato. They had a ton of people there. Gunnersville was a little bit down.
And then I want to say the first one at Gunnersville was under 300 or right around 300.
Yeah, I think the last Caddo was probably right around that number too. But before, before the last, I guess 3 years ago then, because last year was Caddo, year before was Gunnersville, but then the year before that, I believe was also Caddo, and they had a huge numbers there, and then they had huge numbers at Kentucky Lake those last 2 years as well.
Yeah. And I don't think that it's a decline that anything they're doing, honestly. I think going back to what we talked about earlier with just the way the economy is right now, that could be a huge part of
it. Yeah, definitely.
So, well, that's about all the questions I got on it. Dan, you got anything else?
No, man. Let's let these guys go.
Heck yeah. Well, guys, we appreciate y'all, you know, jumping on with us and talking about it. And like I said, I think it's been a great conversation, and I think it'd be a very positive one for a lot of people to listen to that may want to get into it. Or, I mean, now that they're NC qualified, you know, go put your hat in and go see if you can win the championship. So
see if you can beat Cody and Russ.
Hey, I never heard of no Kentucky Lake, so we'll
I'm
see.
Going for it this year. I live an hour and a half away. I'm gonna be. I'm
you
did,
Russ? You lucky dog.
Oh, I'm gonna.
You'll I'm gonna be at the tournament of champions as well, too, won't you?
The TSC, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to coming both up.
There yeah, both of them are gonna be pretty cool.
Well, we appreciate it again, but you know, we want to give y'all. We always like to give everybody a chance to shout out to anybody, you know, sponsors or anything that makes it easy for them. So, Russ, if you want to go ahead, just
tell
them how much you love them.
Thank my sponsors: Torquedo Fishing, Yak Attack, iRod Fishing. I got a new Signature Series rod, the Snyder Sniper. Sure, check that out.
Yeah, dude.
Great for chatterbaits, I must say. Dakota Lithium. And Catch Outdoors and Wilderness Systems. I got my new Recon all set up, and it's one badass kayak. I love it.
Heck yeah.
Cool.
Can't wait to see it. You're going to have to bring it up to the shop.
Oh, yeah.
I'll check it out. What about you, Cody?
I would say the same thing. I mean, shout out even y'all for doing this podcast to give people the opportunity to hear, because a lot of people, all they do is hear those negative comments, you know, and then what happens? They don't want to fish them. They don't want to do this. But in reality, they're hearing from the wrong source. So, I mean,
even if we did say anything negative, hopefully you see it as constructive. Because on this show, we just absolutely do our best to not.
We're very non-biased, man. We don't hate on anybody.
Nah. Sorry. Go ahead, Cody.
No, you're fine. And I think that's perfect. Literally. I mean, I've. Like give a shout out to Chad, to AJ, to every single one of those people that's made this possible, you know, for us to in a sense live our dream. This has been absolutely a dream come true for me. I've got a few things under family at the house. I got problems with my back, so I got to get that figured out, but this year has been absolutely amazing, and each one of my sponsors, the rods I use are Yak rods. They're sort of a newer company, and they literally have helped me so much this year all over the world. I personally feel, Russ, no offense, I personally feel that they're one of the best rods out there on the market. And
top two.
That's it. iRod. And each individual one, Yak Attack, 13 Fishing. I just jumped on this year with Z-Pro Lithium. And I have been very, very impressed with that company. Dan's with me. There we go.
I'm running that Z-Pro.
Michael, the dude out there with that owns Z-Pro Lithium.
He knows his stuff, man.
Holy cow, that man is intelligent.
He is a battery nerd.
He is. And I think it's amazing for him to kind of give me the rundown and help me understand about the different sales and why my battery weighs 10 pounds lighter than a normal 24 volt. I'm like, I just don't understand. It has the same kick. Like he's very, very intelligent. So I've really, really enjoyed working with him. And Kayak Cushion, I cannot fish without that thing. P-line. I cannot say enough good stuff about that line. Literally has gotten me out of some tough situations this year. This is my first year running them full time, like nothing else. And I have literally, I can literally say I've broke off two times in the whole year of fishing. And
not going to throw any shade. And I won't get off topic. What's your thoughts on FluoroClear?
FluoroClear, I literally have not tried. Is that the blue and green label?
Yeah.
That's kind of their cheaper stuff. I've actually been quite impressed with that stuff. But for me personally, I have to go with 100% fluorocarbon. I know it's more expensive.
No,
but I definitely do.
Didn't like the FluoroClear compared to their straight fluoro.
So have you just used the tactical?
I think so. I'd have to look.
They just came out with a new line, and it's actually been out a little while, but it's called P-Line Ultimate. It's a blue label. It's a little bit cheaper than the tactical, but it's another 100%, and it has, I don't want to say zero stretch, but it has a very, very low stretch, and it been an absolute game changer for me. I still use tactical on like the crankbaits and the jerk baits for a little bit more stretch with my rod. But if I'm flipping close, I might go to that tactical because my hook sets are a little bit too much sometimes. But that ultimate has literally been amazing for me to bomb a cast out there and like get a bite 75 yards or how far away and rip into them and still get a great hookup. I've been very impressed with that new stuff.
I've been using their top water this year, and I really like that.
Yeah, I got to get more into their stuff. I looked at we don't have a huge, most of the shops around here don't have a huge, huge selection of all their stuff. But I hung out with them at ICAST and really got to look into all their stuff. I was like, oh,
like, yeah,
I got to give y'all one more thought.
New braid. Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started, dude. We can sit here and talk for days.
We'll have to have you on with the final show, cast guys to do a line show about P-Line.
Yeah, let's freaking do it, dude. I can't tell you how many line tests I've done at the house with like sandpaper and stuff to see what line holds up more. I need to actually put them on YouTube, to be honest with you. But
yeah, Russ, have you done a show with our gear guys about your rod yet?
No, I haven't. I'd love to, though.
Oh, like, I'm going to set that up. I'm going to call them right when we get through with this.
Sweet, thank you.
We got you.
Yeah, you. I don't know why they hadn't done it, but those goofballs are just having a good time. So who knows? Yeah. Well, anybody else, Cody? Is that it?
Battle Baits, Rogue Fishing, Newport Vessels. Oh man, dude, I could sit here and talk about that freaking NK180. That thing is unreal. I have literally beat the absolute shiz out of that thing.
Yeah,
mine. And she just keeps going.
Yeah, the little skeg on mine's getting smaller.
Oh, you say you'd be scraping.
Oh, yeah, my prop looks terrible, but it still works perfect, so.
And I think there's something in the making. I don't know if you've heard about that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I got to hang out with the wizard a lot at ICAST, and I got all the information I needed, but I have to keep my mouth shut.
I talked to him the other day. He's awesome. He built some insane rigs, man.
Yeah. He did himself a huge one with a Siri powered kayak. No, or was it Siri or Alexa? Whichever one he did at ICAST was sick.
Oh yeah, he sent me that video of that one.
Yeah,
that was wild.
Oh man, it was awesome. Well, I will stay and talk about crap all night, guys. I know everybody's got to get to bed and get to work tomorrow or get to fishing, but we appreciate it again, guys. Thank you so much. We will see y'all next time. Till then. Y'all have a great one.
See you guys.
Okay, see y'all.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks.
Awesome. I think it was a really good show. I really do. I think that a lot of positive, like you said, like I feel even more. I mean, I fished KBF events without any, worry, but now it's like you hear from the guys really making some money from it and all that stuff. I mean, it seems like it's a no-brainer now, kind of.
It's just like whenever we plan the show, well, you plan the show to get an insider's knowledge of people actually involved in it rather than outside of it.
When I first thought about it, I was like, well, let's just grab some of the hosts and see, because like most of our hosts, whether they fish tournaments or not now, if they've fished KBF events. But then I thought about it and was like, no, I mean, like we were hoping to have Jimmy McClurkin on. He couldn't make it. He didn't have the signal. Jimmy fishes mostly KBF, I would say. He's got, I mean, he brought that big ass trophy up to the shop last weekend to put on his kayak for our little kayak fest we had. And I really wanted his input because I know he really enjoys it. I think he's pretty close to Chad. But it was still, I think it was a very insider edition of that. You know, I hope everybody takes good things away from it and don't take it as we were bashing anything, or which we didn't. I mean, it's just getting questions answered that everybody, I mean, you could look around on the internet and see the chit chat and chatter. So,
I mean, if you lift up a hood, it's not all going to be perfect, you know?
Exactly. So. Well, that was it for that. We'll hit the little tourney recap real quick. We have a ton of them to talk about. It's just two. I'm totally kidding. Kayak Anglers of Central Pennsylvania on the Middle Susquehanna. The Kick Cancer's Ass event. 37 anglers, 5 fish limit. Andy Bowen with 93 inches. Russell Johnson with 89 and 3 quarters. And Chelsea Gray in third place, 87 and a half. And last but not least, the Kayak Fishing Utah Bass Tournament on Starvation Reservoir. That's an interesting name. 32 anglers, first place Jason Conley with 77 and a half, second place Chris Spencer with 74, and third place Adam McCluskey with 71 and three quarters. So starting at, which it was Labor Day weekend, which probably a lot of the reason for it slowing down, but we're getting into the part of the year where we should start having a bunch of like championships and club classic events coming through the pipeline to talk about in the recap. I don't know what we've got coming up for big tournaments. I know Pickwick is coming up for October. Bassmaster. I don't know when the TOC is for Hobie.
Well, Hobie Dardanelles this month.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
Yep.
So yeah, one more regular Hobie event, then the TOC. KBF, I think just finished. I think the NC is their next one. I think the last trail event last weekend was the weekend before last was the last one. So winding down, we'll start getting a little more creative with our shows probably. I've got some ideas. I'd love to hear anybody else's ideas. You know, we want to talk to Angler of the Year folks, and we may hit a couple tournament directors, but we, you know, we'll come up with some stuff. I want to keep it relevant to other That's parts right. of tournament fishing. So, well, Dan, anything yeah. else, my man?
That's it.
All right, well, this has been another episode of The Reel Down. We appreciate you as always. Be sure and tune in next week, and we will see y'all then. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your...
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
You'd think, with four of us spread out on a tiny island, that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But, as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.